Recorded live at Nightmare Studios in Houston, Texas, you're listening to the Genghis and Ragman Show, where two jamokes drink and rate craft beer while they chew the fat about the world of hard rock and heavy metal, followed up by one-on-one interviews with veterans and newcomers in the industry. I'm your official announcer, Joey Clams, and here to introduce themselves is tonight's special guest.
Hey, this is Tim Ripper Owens, and I give you the right to rock.
Without further ado, here are two co-hosts who are so metal, they sleep in the garage. It's Genghis and Ragman.
Hey, this is Tim Ripper Owens, and you are listening to the Genghis and Ragman Show.
It's
Horns
the
up.
Green Monalisa with the two.
Goes to sleep and the woman looks. Yeah, the night is so black and the darkness cooks. And you come sneak around, making me do things I don't wanna do.
Guys, you're on live with Ragman Mono E Mono, with a very strong voice in heavy metal. The only guy that could replace Mr. Rob Halford, Judas Priest. I'm talking about Mr. Tim Ripper Owens. Tim, welcome to the Right to Rock.
How are you, man? Listen, I don't know if I'm like the only guy that could have, but I am the only guy that did.
Correct. I stand corrected. And I got to say, dude, I'm a fan of the stuff you did with Priest when Rob was out of the band. And actually, I saw you. I don't know if you remember this. You guys had to reschedule because there was like a flood or something in Houston. But I had actually had front row seats. And I think it was in the Revention Center or Verizon Wireless or something like that. And caught that tour, but the first show got rained out to a flood. I think Houston likes to flood every once in a while, so y'all postponed, came back, and just rocked the house, and it was a great show, man.
Oh, wow. That's awesome, man. Yeah, I don't remember it.
I want to say it was Demolition.
The only time I remember shows getting canceled was because of 9/11.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it was. It was 9/11. It wasn't a flood. It was thinking a flood.
Yeah, 9/11, I think we had like you know, Iced Earth and Anthrax or something was going to be doing that. But then when we came back, Anthrax was still with us. Anthrax is with us on that run, right?
Yes, yes.
Yep, yeah, uh-huh.
A killer Bill band, and I really, really dug in Priest. I mean, you know, we all love Rob and Priest, but, you know, for the years that Rob wasn't there, I think you were the perfect guy for the job for sure, man.
Well, thank you. Yeah, listen, I'm a fan of Rob and a fan of Priest and was a fan of Priest. And, yeah, I mean, that's all I really wanted to do was kind of be someone that I would want to listen to. So it was pretty cool.
Very cool. Well, we're not talking about Priest. We're talking about the Three Tremors. Sorry to get off on a tangent there. But I want to ask you how you got involved with this. It seems like... from what I've kind of read, we've interviewed Sean a few times on our show. It sounds like it's kind of the brainchild of Sean Peck, with the backing band being Cage. You know, how did you get approached? Did you know Sean from Caged, or did he reach out to you to ask you to join the Three Tremors?
Yeah, we have been friends for years. You know, we originally met. His band Cage opened up back in the Jugulator and Demolition tours. They opened up in San Diego for us. So we've met back then, and then through the years I'd see him here and there and talk here and there, and then I saw him like at a festival when I was in Iced Earth in Europe, Germany, and you know, we just were in contact. And then he had contacted me about doing this, you know, and I was doing several of these kind of things. I was doing tours in South America with like Udo and Blaze and Blaze and I would do a couple just together, and then Udo, Blaze, and Mike Mascara and I did a tour, did one in America with Jeff Tate and Blaze, but they weren't original. You know, it wasn't this. And Sean's idea was, man, let's do this as a band. Let's make a record and push that. You know, let's not push what we've done in the past or whatever. Let's just push this. So, yeah, you know, he contacted me and had, you know, at the time it was just, there wasn't the other singer for sure yet. And it was just him and I talking about it. He starts sending me stuff. And then he's like, hey, you know, I got Harry Conklin. I'm like, that's awesome. And, yeah, so kind of went from there.
Well, it's three powerhouse voices. I've been a big Jack Panzer fan for a long time as well, and as well as Cage. But the three of you, man, really give it. I mean, there's some really high-octane vocals going on this record for sure, man. From what I understand, I think Sean wrote a bunch of it. How did y'all decide to kind of split it up? Who was going to do what? Or how did that work out?
Well, we really didn't, you know. I mean, what happened was, at first, Sean would send me the template, his vocal ideas and stuff, and then, you know, you have to kind of stick close to it melodic-wise, because you're going to be making harmonies and all these things, and it's going to be going on the record, so you can't do your own thing on the melody. And I just sang the whole record, you know. I mean, that's kind of how I did it. I put all these different harmonies and layered things, so when it was my part, it would be like, not just, it would be my vision of it. Now again, I didn't change it, I just sang it in different voices than they did, and did that. So that's kind of how, then when they went in to mix it, that's when they decided to, let's use this and let's use that, and split it up, you know. So it's kind of a cool way to do it, because you didn't just work on parts, you worked on the whole thing, and I think it gave it a different vibe that way.
Oh yeah, I think so too, and I like that. And I mean, you guys just came out in November with the solo versions. So, is the solo version, you said, like you said there, you said you sang it all. Did they use that, or did you actually go back in and redo your vocals on the backing tracks there?
No, we didn't redo it. That's really what gave him the idea. I think when he started mixing the record, he started thinking, man, that, I mean, you know, Ripper's version of this song is pretty cool, you know. And then it was like, oh man, Harry's version of this is cool. And so I think he kind of got that idea. It's like, man, we should do it. He called, man, we should release our individual versions. And here's the thing that, you know, is kind of cool, is that it wasn't redone. Like, he wanted to release our individual versions just how we recorded them to be released. You know, not redo it. Listen, I would have loved There's some vocal parts that I don't even have in there because I didn't sing them. A slow part at the beginning of Fly or Die or stuff. It's just because I didn't sing them, and then I said, hey, I mean, I was busy as hell, but I said, hey, I'm coming home from this tour. I can run in the studio and add that part. And he's like, no, just leave it. It makes it different. This is the kind of the cool thing. So I would have liked to have went in there and added some more parts, added some more screams, changed it up a little bit. But what we wanted to do was, especially Sean, was stick to that theme, stick to what we did. So it's still, it's showing our own versions of that record, and then it's still pretty similar to what it was. It's a really great idea. I mean, you know, for $21 or whatever, you're getting three CDs. You know, you're getting three different CDs. And I think what's great about it is, if you don't like me, but you like Sean, then you can buy this and get Sean's version of it. You know, you're a big fan, or you're a big fan of Harry, or you're a big fan of me, it has that option, you know. So I think it's a pretty great idea, you know.
Oh, I agree. And the only other band that comes to mind, and they're definitely a lot softer than you guys, is Danger Danger. When they did that with Ted Pauley and Paul Lane, when they had that, they had a disc called Cockroach, where I think they recorded with Ted and then kicked him out of the band and then re-recorded the vocals with Ted, with Paul, and then it got locked up by, I forget who the record company was, and they re-released it on their own label years later, but with two discs. So it's every song the same, but with two different vocalists, and it's kind of funny. I'll go back and forth between the two, and it's kind of cool. And I could see myself doing it with the three Tremors, but I have a third option with Harry, you know? That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and I think the difference of ours is, what's funny that people even have to realize, we didn't go back and re-record it, and this wasn't, like, when I recorded this record, and when Harry recorded this record, and when Sean recorded it, now Sean wrote it, so he recorded more, but this, we weren't recording our parts to release it as my vocals on a whole record, you know? So it's kind of cool, because again, going back, I would have liked to have spent more time on it. It would have been cool to spend more time on it, to release it as a solo version. Just, it's not like when those two guys went and did theirs, that with Danger Danger, you know, they're making a record, so they gotta, like, man, this whole thing's gotta be kick-ass. Well, we were making a record where we were just gonna be using parts, so yeah. It's kind of funny that it still was able to come out and be a whole record when my vocals weren't intended to be the whole version of it. You know, I mean, like I said, I would have probably changed. I wouldn't have changed melodies. I would have added a few parts, maybe sang something a little bit in a different register to change it up, or put some different high notes, or, you know, but that's how cool this record is. This was actually our versions singing, making this Three Tremors record.
Yeah, I like that. Because one of my questions, and you've already answered, was, you know, if y'all did go back to the studio, how did you reinterpret what Sean or Harry was doing on a song or something like that? And like you said, it would have been kind of neat to go back to. I mean, I like what we have here, but if you had that second option to, you know, add a little bit more after you've sat with it for a little while and said, oh, you know what, I'd like to do this, you know?
Yeah, and I'm not certain with Harry's. I imagine he did the same with me. I'm not certain if he recorded everything, you know, before the RFE had to re-record anything. I'm not certain. I'm just going by what I did. And yeah, you know what? There's a couple parts the way Harry sang it or the way Sean sang it. I probably, you know, would have taken that idea and maybe put it on the mine. I mean, you know, that's the thing. I like that it's not like that, though. I like that this was the workings. This was our individual vocals making that record. So it kind of makes it cool. Because, listen, it's still different. That's what's funny, is you hear my version, and it's still different than how the record came out, because there's a couple parts where those guys just sang it different. They did a different vocal line, or a different register, and it worked. And I think that's what it's really cool about it. You know, I mean, I'm trying to talk Sean into making a CD for me. That's my own solo version. That's a single CD that I could actually sell at my solo concerts. to make it different. I wouldn't sell it online and it wouldn't interfere with this, but I said to Sean, how cool would it be is if I had my own version at my Tim Ripper Owens shows all over the world and I sell these CDs. I think it would be kind of neat, but we'll see if that happens. But I think it's just a great idea that Sean comes up with a lot of these great ideas. And I think what also is cool is the artwork so good on it.
Oh yeah.
And you know, the packaging's so good that it's really cool.
Oh, I agree 100%, man. The packaging's phenomenal. The artwork's phenomenal. It's like, man, it's just got that good old-school feel to it. And one of the tracks I wanted to bring up, The Wrath of Asgard, it's probably one of my favorites, man. That's just a good old-fashioned meat and potatoes heavy metal song.
I think there's a good chance in the future, like on the next one, there'll be more songs like that. I mean, this record was a real statement, wasn't it? I mean, it was a real statement of craziness and a lot going on and over the top. Everything is over the top. So I think that's how it should have been 100%. But I think, you know, the songs like Wrath of Asgard and these other songs, I really think that's going to be incorporated more into the next record, I think. I think a lot of the writing will be different. You know, you learn things from making the first one. We don't all have to be singing all the time. You know, and I think that's a big thing. We don't, you know, we were singing a lot and a lot and a lot. I think sometimes Harry takes a verse, you know, I take a verse, Stone takes a verse, we sing choruses together, things like that, I think. But there's a couple, you know, the popularity of songs like Wrath of Asgard, I think it makes you go, oh yeah, we can have a little bit more diversity on the next one.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I guess for the next one, have you guys talked, is it going to be more, are you going to get more involved in the writing process and Harry, or is it going to be Sean and the Cage guys kind of coming up with the ideas for it?
It's probably going to be, and Sean's going to send me some stuff to add to it. You know, I got a lot going on. I got some big things coming up this year as well, and some other things and tours and records. But I'm definitely here to do it. I like, you know, it's Sean's baby, and they're writing this stuff now musically, so hopefully soon he'll be sending me some music and I can lay down some vocal ideas here.
Well, let me ask you this, as far as performing live, and you've kind of dealt with this a little bit with the Dio Disciples, but is it weird being with two other guys on stage performing?
No, it's not. I mean, unless it's, you know, we play a lot of small stages. Some of the, you know, we just got back from a European tour and there's a lot of, you know, we play a lot of small clubs there, a lot of even smaller there than in America. And, you know, stages are small. And other than that, you know, Even if it's a big venue, some of the stages are small. You have all these musicians up there. It's going to seem smaller, you know?
Yeah.
But it doesn't. I mean, I really enjoy it. I enjoy hearing them sing. I go on stage, and I go to every venue, and every day I go, I hope they're on, you know, fire tonight. And I say that because that way I can say to them, hey, listen, why don't you sing my part? I really enjoy it. That's the thing. We're not up there singing the longest high notes or the most powerful high notes. I'm up there singing exactly how I sing every day, and so is everybody else. And there's going to be people out there that are giant Harry fans that would rather not hear me sing. But that's we're there to be three guys having fun and singing good with an outstanding band. It's weird. It doesn't seem weird. I guess it's also because I've done so many different tours with different singers and been on stage with different singers that, you know, I've also done this. But I think the idea of it makes it better. You know, what the competition is for us as a whole to get people to enjoy themselves. That's what we're up against. We want people to have fun and enjoy the show and leave going, man, let me tell these people. But as vocalists go, it feels really comfortable up there with all of us, and we have a good time.
Well, it sounds like you kind of feed off each other, and another group that does stuff like this, like Avantasia. You sang with Avantasia on a record. I don't know if you did any touring with them, but that's another thing where there's, I mean, multiple vocalists on stage at a time, and they're all giving it, and it works. And I look forward to seeing you guys when you guys come to Houston here in a few weeks. To see how it goes over live. But did you ever tour with Avantasia? Was that a thing or no?
No, I never did. Never toured with them. And, you know, it would be pretty cool. I think it would be a great idea. But nothing like that ever came up. Just did a record.
Oh, cool. I mean, the concept's cool. I really dig it, and you and I only do it in Dio Disciples, so I wasn't able to catch y'all when y'all came through on the hologram tour. It didn't come to Houston, only played Dallas. But I don't know if you guys are both on stage at the same time singing, or if you come out individually or not, but it sounds like you've kind of shared the stage with other vocalists, and I guess it's something you're comfortable with, sounds like.
Yeah, Odie and I go back and forth on songs. I mean, we did it in the Dio Disciples, and we do it with the hologram, same thing. You know, we'll do some of these songs and share, you know, go back and forth with the vocals.
That's awesome. Well, you said you had a bunch of big things going on this year, besides the three tremors. One I want to ask you about, because I interviewed Carrie Kelly a while back, and I just want to congratulate you on your vocals on A New Revenge. You went to places I didn't know you would go to is your voice, and you sounded great, and I mean that in a very, very complimentary way. I was like, man, I didn't know he could sing in this more melodic, you know, vocal style that's a little different from what he's used to doing, where it's more powerful and, you know, more metal, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think the biggest part is, listen, I've done it in all my records. I mean, my solo records, you have Pick Yourself Up, and there's Starting Over, and, you know, all the way back to Judas Priest. I mean, you hear the songs on those records. But the difference is, more than the vocals, is the songs. I think there's where the difference lies, because people say, I didn't hear you sing like that. No, you heard my voice like that. You haven't heard me sing those melodies. Vocally, I've covered that forever. I mean, it really is on all my records. Iced Earth, same thing, man. It's filled with that stuff. But it's the music. And I've never done a record like this. And you know, it's funny. I mean, I read someone the other day where someone didn't like it. But I haven't come across it nearly as much as any record I've done. Here's the thing. That record's, I thought metalheads might not like it until I played it for a metalhead, real metal, hard metal. And he's like, dude, this thing is awesome, man. I love it. Here, it's a record that will be not liked, but it's also a record that will get liked by more people.
Yeah.
You know, because it has a bigger audience that it can grab, whether it's people who still don't like that music, but will go, yeah, this is pretty cool. I like that better than you singing Burn in Hell or you singing whatever. And that's, I think, the difference. I think it's an outstanding hard rock record, heavy metal hard rock record. I think it's great. And it's been one of the best reviewed records that I've done, strangely enough. So I really like it. And working with Kerry is great. I mean, I've talked to Kerry about when I do my solo record that I'd like to work on. I've been writing songs with Kerry, and then I'm going to incorporate John Capri, my buddy who wrote the songs with me on Beyond Fear, my solo record. So we have two different kinds of angles come to write a record where these guys can get together. You got one guy who likes classic metal like Maiden and hardcore and John Capri, and then you got, you know, Kerry who you know has his influences from you know Nicky or whatever he was in. Not what was the band?
Danger Danger. Or no, Pretty Boy Floyd and Night Ranger.
Yeah, but he was in Slash's band.
Oh yeah, and he played with Cooper for a while too.
Yeah, well, he was with Alice, when I met him, he was in Alice Cooper. He was in Slash and Snake Pit and Alice Cooper. You can hear those influences as well, you know.
Oh yeah, I really dug that record, and I was like, dude, you got to bring this on the road if you can. Yeah, I know it's hard. I know it's hard to get support, get out there, but man, I would love to see that band perform. That would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, it would be great. I'd love to do it. You know, I mean, if we could all ever get time to do it, it'd be great.
Well, let's talk about your U.S. tour for the Three Tremors coming up, starting here in a few weeks, starting in Texas. Thank you for that. What can the fans expect in the areas that you didn't make it the first round? And kind of, I guess, second part of that question is, you know, what are you guys doing set list wise?
Well, you know, the good thing about this is it's a set of music that everybody will love. You know, I mean, listen, you come out to the show, you're going to get just right at you, man. Right at you, metal, power metal, heavy metal. A lot going on. We're all up there at the same time singing most of the night, going back and forth. You know, but we get to throw in a couple songs. You know, we'll probably do Burn in Hell from the Jugulator CD. You know, Harry, of course, will do a Cage song. I mean, a Jack Panzer song. And Sean, of course, will do a Cage song. And we always try to throw in some other stuff. We might do a Painkiller. Maybe a couple classic Priest songs, easy, fun songs that the crowd could sing. And you know, maybe throw in something like a Heaven and Hell to celebrate Ronnie Dio. So it's a pretty cool night, you know. We used to do, I mean, listen, we play almost all of the Three Tremors stuff. So that's the thing. It's like you play almost that whole record. And I said to Sean, that we got to put some other songs in here. You know, we've played the Sentinel before, but even that one, it's still technical. It's like you have to bring it down because this set is pretty technical and a lot of stuff going on all night long. So it's nice to bring it down with something that the crowd gets into.
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure. I got to tell you, man, I think it was Live Meltdown, when you did Diamonds and Rust, forget about it, dude. You killed that, dude. You make that, it's one of those moments where the hair on the top, on your arms like stands up and you're like, holy shit, man.
That was one of the first times we played it, and you know it's on Live in London as well, and it's nice, man. It's awesome. I love doing that. Thank you.
Oh man, I you know, I'm not a huge live album guy, but that is one that I've actually put on quite a few times because I really like the way your interpretations of some of the Halford stuff, you know, and also just high props on Green Metal Ishii. Dude, I'm like, my fist is in the air with the crowd, because you said that was Meltdown cut in London or was it somewhere in Europe or South America?
Meltdown was somewhere else. It was a couple other shows, and then obviously a lot Live in London was there. Which my favorite is Live in London. It has a more raw feel to it, or something about it that just, you know what? We were tired. We got off an airplane. We shot a DVD, and we were in there from early morning all night long, and we did the concert. You know, I mess up songs, the lyrics, some of the notes are flat, and I like that because it's like,
it's real.
I don't know very many singers or albums that something hasn't been fixed. Something, and that's just because it has to. There's a note, or there's, you know, there's a the guitar went out or something. that album is so raw and live that I just freaking love it. And listen, I could sing better, I could look better on stage, I could be into it more, but that was what made that show. It's like, this is what a show is, right? But yeah, I got lucky to make two really great live records with Judas Priest. It's pretty awesome.
Have you, I know you, I think you did something with Elfson and KK in Europe not too long ago. Have you talked to KK about ever doing anything, or were you guys pretty close to the band? Or
we always chat a little bit, but we've chatted for years, so it's kind of come up, but just everything would have to really be perfect. I'm really busy, you know, for Kim to do something like that, it's going to have to be perfect situation. I mean, if he wants to go back out or make a record, it has to be the right thing. But we always talk about it. And it was nice to have David. It was awesome to have Les Binks. I mean, you know, when you're talking about being on stage with Les Binks and KK, you know, you have three of us up there that was in Judas Priest. One of them that pretty much started the band, and the other one that was on some of the greatest records that people haven't seen in a while around the world. They haven't, you know. So to have Les Binks playing, it was pretty crazy.
Oh, I bet, dude. It was probably pretty surreal, for sure, man.
It was, for sure.
Well, good deal. Tour starts here pretty quick. We can't wait to see you live. Ripper, before we let you go, is there anything you'd like to tell the fans out there?
Well, just, you know, if you need to see anything, check out what's going on. You can go to my social media pages. All of them are easy to find. Tim McBrone's Official. I think it's like Instagram and Facebook are Tim McBrone's Official or Official Tim McBrone's. One of them. It's really easy. And then Twitter, Tim McBrone's, probably Official. I'm not for sure. But again, you can tell which ones are real. But come out to Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You find out everything I'm doing, what's going on. That way someone doesn't have to say to me, what are you up to? Actually, let me tell you something. I have people message me on Facebook and say, what are you up to? And I'm like, wow. How about look at my Facebook page?
You ever heard of the internet?
No. I had one guy on my Facebook page send me a message and ask me if I ever recorded anything with Judas Priest.
Unbelievable.
I'm like, you're on. But when somebody, listen, I will just post a post saying, here's where I'm playing. Here's my, you know, update of the next couple of months, and then someone will say, what are you up to? And I'm like, I don't know. Every day I post the records I've put out lately, the tour dates, and then they send you messages and ask you that. I'm like, just Google me or just go to my social media pages. So that's what I'm telling everybody now. Send me a request for anything, and especially to the Official Tim McBrone's page, just like, but the Instagram, I do a lot on there, and Twitter a lot. Just get a hold of me.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Well, whenever I hear your name, dude, I always check out what you're up to. So, big fan. I've been a fan for a long time. Like I said, man, looking forward to seeing you. Before we let you go here, I want to tell the fans to check out the Three Tremors out on tour here on the, I think you start out, the 27th in Austin? And then
yes.
You go for a while. Let me see here.
We do the 27th at Austin, and we go Austin, Dallas, Houston, Ybor City, which is Tampa, Florida, West Palm, Florida, and Orlando. Those are six shows in a row. So we go from Houston, Texas on the 29th of January to Ybor City on the 30th of Florida. So that's kind of crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Then we have a couple days off, and then we go to the UK from February 10th to the 17th. And then at the end of the, right after that, we hit it again in March. But yeah, so check out all the dates on social media as well. These dates are all up there, and spread the word. We're hitting the road.
Last question here, just Ripper, because you mentioned the six dates in a row. Being that you guys all sing in high register and really give it live vocally, I mean, doing six days in a row, are you just totally wore out, or is your voice so trained and strong for all the years of singing that it doesn't really affect you that much?
Well, I'm in my 50s, so it affects me. But, no, it gets you. And the thing is, the only good thing about Three Chimbers is there's so much going on, I could probably sing in a lower register and people wouldn't recognize it. You know, they wouldn't tell because it's newer music. You know, it's different if you're doing Judas Priest or other stuff. People know these songs by heart and say, oh man, he's singing that different. I can get away with stuff, but this stuff is brutal and it takes it out of you vocally. It's really, I had a pretty good last tour in Europe, but it's, even though you have three singers up there, you're still going at it. So I'm as worn out, if not more worn out, after these shows than any.
Oh, I bet, dude. I bet. Well, before we wrap up, is there a song you want us to end the interview with?
Let's do one of my favorites is Speed to Burn.
Nice. We'll do it. Well, Ripper, you're welcome back on our show anytime. Thanks for the time today, and we'll see you here in a couple weeks, my friend.
You got it, buddy. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
When man first looked up at night to the stars in the sky, seeing small points of light, he stared in wonder.
This has been Genghis
and Ragman,
and you've been listening to the Right to Rock podcast, and we appreciate you listening, and we want to give a big thank you to Tracy G, who is the third unofficial member of the group. We appreciate all of his work, especially the Broken Man song, which is the theme song to the Right to Rock podcast.
And also, we're going to give high props to our boys in Sonic X, Adam and Joseph, have lent us 13 to finish the show. So what you're listening to right now is 13 by Sonic X. So check them out and keep checking us out. And horns up.